2,000 years ago, history was altered forever when God became man and walked among us. And for generations, we've celebrated the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, today on Insight for Living, we'll focus on another historic moment. This one has yet to come. Chuck Swindoll continues his study in 1 John with a message about our Lord's return. It's part of the comprehensive series titled Living Right in a Wrong World. And just before we begin, let's enjoy a few moments of reflection as our teacher leads us in prayer.
Please join me for a few moments of prayer. What a gripping thought, our Father, when we read that our name has been cleared, that you will present us faultless before the presence of your glory with a joy that is beyond description, that for you and for us, we have that relationship that gives us a sense of confidence at your coming. We do not shrink away in shame or fear, but we anticipate your Son's return at any moment with great delight. We wait on tiptoe for that hour when the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ having risen first, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet your Son in the air, to be forever with him. What a relief that will bring. Until then, our Father, we bask in your love, which will not ever let us go. We're thankful for that. Today, whatever may be the need in any heart occupying any seat in this place of worship, whatever may be that need, I pray that you will, in these quiet moments, bring a calm reassurance, reminding each one of us that you do all things well, and that nothing touches us that has not first passed through the fingers of our faithful God, whose hand is upon us. In fact, even though others walk away from their young, you will never walk away from us. As the prophet has written, can the mother of the nursing child leave her young? Yes, she may leave, but I will never leave you. I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. Your ways are continually before me. Even this day, our ways are before you. Some anticipate with great delight the months that will unfold in the spring and summer of this year. Others look upon them with dread and discouragement. Bring us all together around the theme that someday all of the cares of this age will pass, and we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Comfort us with those words. For those who have never come to Christ, terrify them, frighten them, keep them awake until they find faith and trust and hope in him whom to know is life everlasting. We give our gifts, our Father, that the message of your word may go forth here and across the states and the seas, so that others may know of the love of our Heavenly Father. Thank you for giving us our occupation, and from our wage we return to you what is already yours, since you own it all. And we give gratefully in the name of our Savior Jesus. And everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, Be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message titled, Our Lord's Return, What Then?
It was Mark Twain who once wrote, the trouble with the world is not that people know too little, but that they know so many things that ain't so. To unlearn wrong things is always harder than learning new things for the first time. So if it's possible for you to wash your mind free of all the stuff you picked up along the way that was gathered outside the Bible, and just focus your mind on what Paul writes as he explains these events, you'll be able to put the order together rather simply. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Here is Paul's explanation of what's ahead, and he takes away a lot of the mystery. Now, some remains, of course. After all, it's an eternal home to which we go. By the way, why is it he says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren? The answer is in the latter part of verse 13 of this fourth chapter. So that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. You see, when you know what is happening and when you know what is coming, your grief is not hopeless. So let's make sure, first of all, that you believe that Jesus died and rose again. You've been born again. If you have never made that journey of faith, this is the moment to stop everything else, ignore whatever else I may say, and come to terms with that in your life, so that you might have this kind of hope about which Paul writes. To begin with, let's understand death. While much of it is a mystery, let's understand what occurs. We are made up of a body. The visible, the material, is the body. The immaterial is the soul spirit. At death, they separate. The soul spirit instantly goes to be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17, to be absent from the body, 5:8. To be absent from the body is to be face to face with the Lord. So when death occurs, the body is laid away, and the soul spirit is instantly with the Lord without a body. Let's read on. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him, that's Christ, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. This is Paul's favorite expression for the death of a Christian. Believers are, if you will, asleep in Jesus. You'll see that on many a grave marker of a believer, asleep in Jesus. Doesn't mean the soul is asleep, it means the body is waiting for its resurrection. So this is the believer who has died. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Let's track that carefully. When the Lord returns in the sky to meet us in the air, some of us will be alive at the time. And there will be this marvelous reunion in the sky, but it will be preceded by the raising of the bodies of the believers who have died. Don't let me go too fast here. The dead believers' bodies are pulled out of the grave miraculously and joined to the soul and spirit that awaits them. We who are alive and remain will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So the dead believers are made alive and glorified in their bodies, and the living believers are taken from this earth to heaven, and there is a whole molecular change in the bodily makeup. Verse 15, this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, that is on this earth, until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now watch closely. This is the moment it will occur, and it will be universally known. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. So there will be some kind of command, some kind of announcement coming from heaven or from himself somehow there will be a statement said with volume. It will be a shout. We will be caught up together with them, that's the dead who have been raised. We'll be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. How great is that? Comfort one another with these words. The only ones not comforted are those who are not ready. And I repeat, you have life in which to get ready. Beyond life, you have no further opportunity to ready yourself for eternity. You take care of that now rather than await eternity. Now, that'll get your attention, won't it? Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, written by our friend who's written this letter, aging John the Apostle, speaks to us affectionately as he analyzes Christ's appearing. Paul explained it, John analyzes it. The same Greek term that Paul used in verse 15 for the coming of the Lord is used here in verse 28 at his coming. See the end of verse 28, same word, parousia, at his coming. So these are talking about the same event, the coming of Christ. Twice in the section we're looking at refers to when he appears. See verse 28. Little children, abide in him so that when he appears. Again in verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared what we will be. We know that when he appears. Identical phrases in English and in the original language. So it's talking about that event that is immediately on the horizon. No other event needs to transpire on this earth for which that event awaits. It is the next event in the future. Could happen at any moment, at any time. Around April 14, I pray intensely that it will arrive right now, right now. All the old cares of this earth are passed away and we're taken forever to be with the Lord. Talk about people left with debt. It's going to happen at that time, I'll tell you. Now let's get down to business. Verse 28. He begins with an important command. Little children, abide in him. Let's stop right there. The command is not scintillating. It is not a frenzy. There is no sensationalism about it. It is not over-the-top cheerleading type stuff. It isn't fantastic. It is just saying, abide. Don't you like that? Just abide. Abide. Meno, M-E-N-O is the Greek term, and it means to continue. To just stay. Stay at it. Stay at what? Obedience, walking in the Spirit, keeping short accounts with your Heavenly Father. It's a present imperative, so it's saying keep on abiding, keep on abiding, keep on walking in the Spirit. The best way I've ever heard it described is a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. You don't have to suddenly do a deep, deep Bible study and eschatology to prepare for it. You don't have to go to seminary to be ready for it. You don't have to stay close to the church and buy a home nearby. You don't have to come to every service so that you'll be ready. All you got to do is abide. Just abide. Just keep on doing what you've been doing. That'll help you be ready for it. I used to work in a machine shop, and one of the guys that ran a turret lathe near me was named Tex. And about quitting time, old Tex was always washed up and ready to go. And I said to Tex one day, hey, Tex, are you getting ready for quitting time? He said, Sonny, I don't get ready. I stay ready. I stay ready. You know how to stay ready for quitting time? Abide. Abide. What are you doing? I'm abiding. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm doing my best not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. If that leaves you behind, Galatians 5:19-23 will help you. It'll show you the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. You've got your choice. The point is, you will not shrink. How good is this? You will not shrink in shame when you are abiding. So this brings us to the reassuring reminder. Look closely. So that when he appears, by abiding, you will now be ready. This is a purpose clause. You abide for the purpose that when he appears, you will have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Literally, the Greek says, in the presence. Isn't that wonderful? You will not shrink away in shame in the presence. You and I have been in the presence of great people, but we have never been in a presence like this. This will be a presence that will leave you stunned, silent, lost in wonder and love and praise. When he appears and we're caught up with him, we prepare ourselves for that moment with confidence, knowing that event is sure to occur. Then who shrinks away at his coming? Those who weren't prepared. Back to you who have never trusted in Christ. No wonder it terrifies you. No wonder you're frightened with the thought. Or if you're a believer and you're living in the flesh, no wonder you fear the thought of his coming and calling you to be with himself. Well, the thought continues in verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, and then you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. There it is. If you've been born anew, make certain that that's taken place in your life. There's nothing more important than you're being sure that you have a new birth. You've been born the first time from your mother. You're born a second time spiritually by placing your faith and trust in Christ. This causes John to burst forth in words of wonderment and praise. He starts with the word, look. We read it here in the simple term, see? But it's really, look, behold. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. How great a love he's bestowed on us. Remember when we were in Ephesians 1, verse 8 tells us that he has lavished his grace on us. I love the way that appears in the scriptures. I like to draw it out. Lavished his grace on us. He just unloads his grace on us in Christ. His love is the same. He doesn't provide it. He bestows it. He unfolds it. He surrounds us. He envelops us in his love. He says, look, look at that kind of love from the Father, that he has bestowed it on us. How do we know he loves us? He calls us his children. He calls us his children, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. Charles Wesley put it best. He wrote, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And this statement of wonderment is followed by a glorious promise. That's in verse 2. Beloved, see, this is for the believer. This is the comfort that the believer has. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. Let's don't go any further. There are parts of the future life that we don't know much of it. One of the things we do know is that we won't all have wings laying on clouds strumming a harp. What a dingbat idea about eternity. I mean, does anybody look forward to that? Please, since when do you have to have wings when you got a glorified body? Since when does a harp make it great? And I love beautiful harp music, but I don't want to play one throughout eternity. That's not what it's about. Look at this. We admit that there is much we do not know. It has not appeared as yet what we will be. But this much is clear. Look at verse 2. But we know this, that when he appears, we will be like him. Isn't that great? That's what it means to be glorified. Don't answer out loud, but haven't you recently thought, why in the world do I keep doing that same dumb thing? Why on earth did I say that? Why do I keep returning to that bad habit? Why do I lose my patience over such and such? Why am I like that? This is all part of the old life, the life on this earth, the life that you can't get away from. Remember the song I gave you? Then we shall be what we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. We're not there yet. But we do know when this occurs, we'll be like him. Let me show you what that means. Hold your place and look at 1 Corinthians 15. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 15, which is the great chapter on resurrection in the New Testament. Verse 51. I don't hear many pages turning, or some of you slumbering already, or 1 Corinthians 15. It's right here in the New Testament. Look at verse 51 of chapter 15. He begins with another announcement. Behold, look, I tell you a mystery. We're in 1551. We will not all sleep. Now, what does that refer to? Death, the death of a believer. There we have it. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. Here it is again, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed.
Fascinating details on our Lord's return as we dig into these two passages in 1 John and 1 Thessalonians. You're listening to the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll, and this is Insight for Living. And there's much more teaching ahead on the next program, including a heartrending conclusion, so we urge you to join us next time. To learn more about Chuck or this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Teaching about the end times is not meant to satisfy our idle curiosity about biblical prophecy. The point is to help followers of Jesus prepare for the inevitable and to make a difference while there's still time. At Insight for Living, we're feeling a renewed sense of urgency to tell the truth about Jesus, just as the apostle did in the book he wrote, 1 John. The ominous pandemic has certainly fueled our fire to take this message to all 195 countries of the world. And you can join us in responding to the Great Commission of Jesus to make disciples around the world. We call our Great Commission strategy Vision 195. Perhaps the best way to maximize your giving is to become a monthly companion. In this relationship, you agree to give an automated donation every month. And as a monthly companion, you'll be doing for someone else what someone once did for you. Remember the first time you started listening to Chuck's teaching? Perhaps it was years ago when you had small children at home. Well, maybe you're at a point in your life with more giving capacity than when your family was young. To become a monthly companion today, go to insight.org/monthly companion. Or call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Again, that's 1-800-772-8888. And to give a one-time donation online, visit us at insight.org. In 2020, the pandemic has swept into our homes in ways we never imagined. Some have suffered greatly, but all of us have felt the loneliness of a quarantined lifestyle. Through it all, we're grateful that God has used the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll to continue uninterrupted by the coronavirus or even through civil unrest.
God's amazing grace is our overarching theme every day on Insight for Living. In fact, it's quite possible that God has used our daily program to extend His grace to you.
Well, these daily visits with Chuck are made possible in part by monthly companions, and we're inviting you to join this influential team of monthly supporters. Sign up today by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888.
Please jot down our contact information and follow the Lord's prompting. When you do that, you'll become an elegant bouquet, a sweet fragrance of God's grace, here at home and all around the world.
Become a monthly companion by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Listen Friday when Chuck Swindoll continues his study on living right in a wrong world, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Our Lord's Return, What Then?, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.